particularly seeing the army on the streets in a democracy or rifles, I think that in itself makes people really trying to follow the elected individuals in parliament or the legal route, as the case now, easing a bit of.
Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Monday, 27 January. We've got US new home sales data due 5 p.m. our time. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from Cape Town via Gauteng. On the show today, Nkunzi Sanlam Private Wealth, the Rainet NAV, 30% discount. And of course, now it is mostly cash. And then the Fashini Group trading update. We'll get his thoughts on those. We're going to be chatting with Rory Kutsika Jacobson from Allan Gray. They're reducing SA Inc. exposure. Adele De Toy from the Rooibos Council on increasing growth in Rooibos demand and potential for that industry. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning markets from MoneyWeb. Global tourism has completed its recovery from pandemic. Africa attracted 74 million international tourists last year, marking a 7% increase compared to 2019. Business Day, rail green shoots emerge as coal exports lift for the first time in nearly a decade. Richards Bay coal terminal performance in 2024 marks a strong reversal, up 10% from 2023. Morning markets, US was red on Friday, S&P down 0.3%, NASDAQ off 0.6%. Over in the east, it is mixed. We got Sydney down a little bit, Tokyo off 0.6%, Hong Kong up 1%, Tencent 1.1% higher. Commodities mostly red. We got gold futures, the exception at 2,793, Brent 78.48, platinum 956, palladium 990. Rand is 1852, Bitcoin 101,400, and top 40 opening call looking for a red open, about 410 points or just over 0.5% lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nkunzi Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, appreciate the early Monday time. Rainet, we got the big news, I think 2 weeks ago, that they're exiting British American Tobacco. They now give us a net asset value update. This essentially puts them about a third discount to net asset value, mostly cash in sterling. Johan Rupert obviously looking at some deals with that money. Does this suddenly spark interest in a stock that perhaps has been just a discount proxy for BTR with some pension business? Is this suddenly something that pops on the radar?
Yeah, morning, Simon. Morning to the listeners. Yeah, it is an interesting one. If you strip out the sort of the newspaper sort of sensationalist headlines, you know, we saw 2 weeks ago with, you know, Rainet, the Ruperts, you know, exiting this dynasty they've held forever and a day. From shareholders, it becomes more interesting, doesn't it? Because, you know, as you pointed out, now 33% effectively sitting in cash. And it begs the question, what is Mr. Rupert going to do with it? Well, you know, he's got a number of issues. I mean, first and foremost, I think he's under pressure to do a deal. He didn't do a deal after the financial crisis when most people thought he would and when he did raise some money to do deals. And secondly, you know, heading notoriously bearish, heading into sort of choppy waters, one wonders what he's going to do with this war chest, because certainly at first glance, he is notoriously not one to give money back to shareholders. So those shareholders hoping for some sort of special divvy, I think you can put that one to bed, it ain't coming.
I agree with you on that. He's also, to your point, he's you know, Rupert the Bear. He's also immensely cautious. Any deal he does is, he's not going to go buy an AI company sort of scenario. No. It's going to be cautious and truthfully, with respect to him, probably a smart one.
Yeah, you know, and some also get, I'll tell you, it does, he definitely, I mean, let's not underestimate his allocation of capital has been exemplary over the last the years, although some would argue he needed to do more. I'll tell you, it does get a little bit tricky. Most people looking for possibly, you know, something to do with the pension corp business. which he's got a huge stake in at the moment. Now it's biggest holdings, but you know it is listed in Luxembourg, and I understand when it gets to a certain level, like South Africa, you know, does trigger certain takeover rules that might not be the route he takes. My gut says to me, and certainly asking around the market, I suspect he actually has seen something he wants to buy, and this is an easy way for him to raise the cash. But yeah, if I'm a shareholder, you know, I'd certainly hang around. I think he wants to prove a point this time.
Yeah, and I like your point about that. He sold BTI. He probably had spotted something because that was earning him nice dividends. Let's change track. Fashini Group trading update. We also saw Mr. Price last week. We also saw Clicks. Are these the stock was down, what, 3.8% on Friday?
Yeah.
Are these sell-offs because expectations are high or updates are modest? What's your sense about this?
I think possibly leaning more towards expectations and, I guess, good old-fashioned valuations because, you know, I think the market has baked in some bigger numbers. We all saw those eye-watering numbers coming out of the two-pot system, a lot of money coming into the market. And when you start seeing, I think it was about 5.5%, TFG sales in Africa up, 8% basically group sales, the PE, in this sort of 12, 13 PE. And also, Simon, given the backdrop of a stock that in the last 9 months has run 54%, then obviously this is just going to take the sort of, the gloss off it a little bit. And, 3% is not the end of the world, but yeah, valuations are looking a little bit pressed when you get sort of numbers like that. Although overall, must be said, not a bad set of numbers, just as you said, expectations. I think market expecting a bit more.
Yeah, and to be clear, as you point out, I mean, when you're up 50% in a year, 3.8% on a random Friday is but a slight nick and not a massive wound. We'll leave it there. That's Nick Kunze, Sanlam Private Wealth. Appreciate the early morning time. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation beating returns. Let your money keep working with Stanlib Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Rory Kutsaker Jacobson. He's portfolio manager at the Allan Gray Balanced Fund. Rory, appreciate the time today. We chatted almost a year ago. It was February, first week of Feb last year. And I got to say, looking back to February of last year, there were reasons for cautious optimism, but there was a lot of concern. We still had load shedding, local elections around the world. We've kind of swung the other way in the pendulum where we sit here at the beginning of 2025 and certainly looking at some of the returns that we've seen in our local equity market last year, we're kind of almost swinging to maybe a little too much optimism.
Hi, Simon. Yeah, I think that's roughly right. I mean, if you think about where we were last year during domestic elections, there was kind of huge uncertainty around the election outcome. And certainly when you had the emergence of kind of the MK party almost from nowhere, and then the polls were indicating that they were going to get anything between 10 and 20%, and they ended up kind of just over 10%. But I think what the market took extremely positively was the formation of the GNU. So if you look at market returns within the JSE last year, I think overall the JSE did around 13% in Rand.
Mm-hmm.
But there's quite large divergence in terms of individual sectors and companies. So if you almost break it up into three big buckets, one being mining stocks, another being multinationals that happen to be listed on the JSE, the likes of British American Tobacco, AB InBev, Mondi, and then the third bucket being kind of SA Inc. And there I would include most of our large financials, most of the clothing retailers, a handful of the food producers, and that last bucket did incredibly well. So as much as the JSE only did around 13%, you look at most of our clothing retailers, they did anything between kind of 30%, and then at the top end, Mr. Price did almost 100%, including dividends last year. Most of the banks had double-digit returns. Again, there, the kind of darling was probably Capitec doing around 60% for the year. And in contrast, what dragged down the overall performance of the market were those first two buckets I mentioned. So multinationals was a mixed bag. So some of them did really well, but then some of them did really poorly. And then broadly, most of the mining companies underperformed. And I think that's very much, a combination of, I think coming out of COVID, they did really well. But then secondly, China's been under pressure. And obviously, the demand for commodities disproportionately dependent on China. at this point in time.
Have we almost gone, in a recent note you put out, you say you're not overly negative about the longer term prospects for South Africa, but has that pendulum on SA Inc., I mean, it swung into a much more expensive territory. Have we gone perhaps a little bit far? And not to dismiss the quality of the companies, not to dismiss the prospects, but in the short term, it has swung hard.
Exactly right. Again, not to kind of pick on Mr. Price. I think Mr. Price is a really high quality business, incredibly well run. But I mean, if you just use them as an example. So at the start of last year, you know, the share price was probably around 150, 160 Rand a share.
Yeah.
It peaked at just under 300 Rand a share. Okay. Now it's come back somewhat year to date. But, you know, so you see growth of almost 100%. And the P multiple went as a result from, you know, you were paying just over 10 times earnings, you're now paying around 21 times earnings for Mr. Price. So you would expect to see, given that significant re-rating, a substantial improvement in the underlying earnings growth of the company. And they've actually put out kind of a quarterly trading statement where top line growth has picked up over the last year, but it hasn't picked up anywhere near the same extent that the share price suggests. I think their earnings growth number or turnover growth number was just north of 10%. Fashini put out a similar number. You know, domestically, sales in SA on the Fashini side in the last quarter have only grown 5.2%. So, you know, when you're growing at kind of 5 to 11%, but your share price is running 40, 50% faster, for us, we think the sentiment has swung from probably overly uncertain or overly pessimistic last year to, in some of these counters now, significantly more optimism priced in. And now, you know, we really have to kind of see that come through. And it's not obvious to us that it will materialize.
That's just it. And I mean, yes, load shedding is for now gone, plus 300 days. The government of national unity is going strong 6 months in. But the bigger issues, you know, structural reforms that are needed, infrastructure challenges, unemployment, they haven't gone. And yes, they might be, you know, infrastructure might be moving at a glacial pace in the right direction. The bigger picture still remains challenging, I suppose, is the phrase.
Exactly right. So I think the one thing that we can celebrate, I guess, that has improved year on year is load shedding. So we've had, I think, just over 300 days without load shedding. But if we look at the history of load shedding, I mean, I think we first started experiencing it in 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
Then we had a period absent load shedding, and then it reemerged again in the early teens, disappeared, reemerged again. So I'm skeptical to say we're completely out of the woods there.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look at the other parastatals, they either are in need of significant capital investments and or management changes and or, you know, the operational performance is nowhere near where it should be. And then if you look at the kind of the fiscal side of it, you know, our debt to GDP continues to grow.
Yeah.
So we're sitting at around 75% debt to GDP with interest rates where they are currently north of 20% of all government revenue is now required just to service the interest on that debt, not even to pay down the debt, just to service it. And then, yeah, you referenced some of the other structural factors. I mean, South Africa's got some really difficult long-term challenges that aren't that easy to solve, one of which is kind of chronic underemployment, unemployment levels north of 30%, over 8 million people that are economically active but unemployed. And if you contrast that with the number of actual income taxpayers is around 6 million people, but even if you carve that up and you look at who pays the lion's share of income tax, I think it's less than 2 million people pay north of 75% of personal income tax. I'm not trying to be bearish here. I'm just trying to highlight some of the actual challenge. And, you know, the education stats that came out last week, I mean, there's some things to be celebrated there, but then there were also, of the children that entered grade 8, 300,000 kids disappear out of the system in the sense that they never made it to matric for those statistics, which is extremely disappointing and saddening.
Yeah.
And so, as much as one can be positive about the GNU, I don't think it's been properly tested with a really difficult decision where you might see real ideological differences emerge between the current parties and what that may do to the ongoing GNU. So tying this all together, I think there's a lot of things that could happen in South Africa that could be positive and we could see an improvement in growth. But the question is always, well, what am I paying for that today when I'm buying equities or I'm investing in fixed income and buying, you know, South African bonds? And so if we look at, you know, where we're missing opportunities, we've been probably at the margin in the last 6 months selling down SA Inc. businesses and buying more of the underperforming multinationals.
Yeah, as you point out, that pendulum has swung. There's lots of green shoots, but there's still risks out there, and some of those are big issues that are not easy to solve. We'll leave it there. That's Rory Koseka Jacobson, Portfolio Manager, Allan Gray Balanced Fund. Appreciate the time. Give you money, smoother returns with StanLib Asset Management. The StanLib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Hadel Dutoy of the Rooibos Council. Can't get hold of our next guest. We were going to chat to Hadel Dutoy of the Rooibos Council, an alarmingly big industry that's happening there, but we're unable to track her. Our poll there, chatting with Rory, are you reducing local exposure in your portfolio? I mean, it ties in with what we said with Nick earlier in the show, right? You've got a 50% run in the Fashini Group. Heck, close on 100% running in Mr. Price, other local SA Inc. stocks as well. It really has been a phenomenal year for those stocks. Question is, do we then cut some of that exposure and just lighten it? I mean, we're not necessarily taking it to zero, as Rory said. We're not necessarily bearish, but in the medium term, those valuations are stretched. They are massive, and that is the stark reality of our market at this point in time. It is always expectation. The numbers might be good, but if the market wanted a whole bunch more, then simply stocks are going to come down and come under pressure. You can have your vote. You can have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. We'd hope to get Hadel Dutoy from the Rooibos Council. We're unable to reach her right now. Rooibos, of course, weird. It's much like the port story that we have in Europe, the champagne. What else have they got? Cognac, which are regional. And we now have MCC rather than champagne. Simply, we're not legally allowed to. And we now have that exclusion as a country on Rooibos. All Rooibos comes from us. We are the sole producer locally. And it's not all just tea. I mean, we know our tea. Of course it is. But it's concentrates. It's healthcare. It's all sorts of places where it is going. We wanted to get a sense of how big that is. We will try and get Hadel for another time. But right now, as I say, we're unable to get her on the line for the interview. The StanLib Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with StanLib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
That's it for today. We were chatting with Keith McLachlan on Friday, GLP-1 drugs, those weight loss drugs, most notably Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk. We asked if you were holding any of those two stocks. Almost half said you prefer other sectors. 40% said competition is coming. And that certainly is Keith's point. And some of that competition will be generic manufacturers. The rest of you said, yes, it is looking great. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Norbuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating and a review in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again tomorrow.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.